Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for the Coach K and Joe Show. The Coach K and Joe Show is brought to you by Idea Fusion Media, Huber & Sons of Jasper and Vincennes, Harmon Dental Care, and by Jasper Today. Now, here's Joe Milligan and Ken Coach K Schultheis.
Welcome to the Friday edition of the Coach K and Joe Show. I'm the coach, Coach K, but Joe is a no-show today. The Coach K and Joe Show is a no-show, so we have the Coach K and Bro and No Joe Show. We have with our taking Joe's spot today, our Indianapolis contributor, brings a lot of common sense and knowledge to the show, Don Schultheis, and as I said, it's the Coach K, Bro, and No Joe Show. Don, great to have you with me as my sidekick today on the Coach K and Joe Show.
I've always been on your side getting kicked. So being a sidekick today is something I'm used to and got a little experience. But all kidding aside, it's great to be part of the show, and I just hope I can fill the big shoes that Joe has left for me to fill, and we should have a lot of fun today.
Well, you will fill the shoes, at least in the communication point. The place that we're going to be a struggle just a little bit, and I warn our listeners, live listeners, and then our podcast listeners later on, I am manning the control boards today. That's something Joe normally does. He has a vast, vast more experience at doing that. But Coach K is multitasking today, not only multiple discussions of sports with opinions and ideas and things, but I've also got to do the technology part. So, Don, you're going to have to hang in there with me, and we'll have a guest coming up a little bit later in the show. In fact, at the end of this first segment, we'll come back with Jasper, Lady Wildcats coach Ryan Ernie. We're going to be talking a little bit about the upcoming IHSAA girls sectional. Of course, Ryan does a tremendous job at Jasper. He'll be facing off with a longtime rival and nemesis in the Southridge Lady Raiders. We'll be talking to Ryan after the first break. Then we'll be talking about, Don, we'll be talking a little bit about IU and Purdue recruiting and football. We'll talk a little Pacers, Bird, and Bynum, and what's going on with the Pacers and the pickup of Bynum. We'll give you our thoughts of how we think it's going to go for the Pacers. We'll talk, of course, Hoosier hoops, a lack of Purdue hoops, and other hoops in the Big Ten. We'll mailbag, rant a little bit. So there's going to be a lot to do on the show. But in this first segment, we'd like to talk about just some of the things that are going on. We get some bad news. You know, one of our frequent guests is Michael Lewis, assistant coach at Butler, and the Butler Bulldog family got some bad news this week, Donnie.
Yeah, it was announced yesterday that former Butler player Andrew Smith has been diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And it was announced by his agent. There's not a lot of news about his, you know, where he's at with regards to the progress of that wretched disease. His family and him have really not filled in any additional information due to the fact that he's got to go through tests and they've got to kind of get their arms around the situation. But if our listeners remember Andrew, he was part of the big run in 2010 and 11 when the Bulldogs hit the national championship game. He started 103 out of 134 career games for Butler and was really a great player for them, particularly you know, that second run in 2011 when a lot of people thought that Butler was not going to have enough to compete again for a national championship, and he really stepped up. But he's been playing over in Europe, in Lithuania, averaging just under 7 points a game and under 3 rebounds a game. And it's just bad news for the Butler family and really basketball fans in general, because Andrew was a model player, student, and just overall good person.
And I might note that Andrew came out of high school. He was not highly recruited at all. And between Brad Stevens and his staff, they developed Andrew Smith into one heck of a basketball player. Even after those two runs, championship game of the NCAA tournament, just phenomenal for Butler as far as history-wise. He came back his senior year and just had a tremendous year, leading that Butler Bulldog team throughout the season and with another berth. He is an outstanding player. Our prayers for not just getting through this tough time, but total healing, we send them out to Andrew Smith. And you know, we got some other news. ESPN reported earlier this week, Don, that Curt Schilling, the great pitcher for the Boston Red Sox, Arizona Diamondbacks, whether you like Curt Schilling or not as an announcer, or whether you thought he was a great pitcher, Curt Schilling, when it was game time, when it was World Series time, playoff time, historically there is not a better pitcher when it came to hand me the ball, we need to win a big game in the playoffs. Curt Schilling did that, and he's battling cancer. We're not sure what type of cancer it is. The report wasn't clear on that. But if you know anything about Curt Schilling's background, his family has had their share of tests, you might say, in life as far as cancer and special needs with their children, his wife, and himself now. But so we wish Curt Schilling the best, and we offer our prayers from the Coach K and Joe Show as well. You know, we never want to make light of, you know, a lot of things go on in sports, Don. A lot of great things, and a lot of things we pick at and have opinions on. But these are real people. These are real individuals with families that play these games, that coach these games. And we never should forget that they are real people, and we're praying for them right now. Don, another thing, a couple of things that have gone on this week. The Duke-Syracuse game, Syracuse ends up winning the game in overtime. I thought it was as good a basketball game between the two winningest coaches in basketball, two of the top programs of all time in basketball, two great teams this year when you consider top 20 teams. It was a great game at Syracuse. And just as Duke lost it, they could have won it. And just as Syracuse fought to win it, they could have lost it. It was a great basketball game. And I mean a great regular season basketball game.
Well, really, those are the games that we're all hoping to tune in for. You know, as we watch basketball, it was truly a treat to watch two great programs, two great coaches go at it. And you know what? When I was watching the game and thinking about it, the term compete comes to my mind, Coach, and those two teams just continued to compete for all through regulation, all through the overtimes, and it was just truly a treat to watch them compete, and it was sad that one of the teams had to lose.
It really was, Don, and I'll tell you, to see those, first of all, you get this game, and you're basically, at this point in the season, it's not an NCAA game. It's not really for a major conference lead. It's just two great programs, two great coaches, and an undefeated Syracuse team, and a Duke team with an outstanding freshman, and a team that has grown throughout the season in front of 35,000 fans. The largest crowd to watch a game in Syracuse. I mean, it was phenomenal. It was just phenomenal to see it at this point in the season. And, you know, we don't get enough of those games because the teams are in conference, they're beating each other up, And when we get to this point in the season, we don't see a lot of those top-tier teams go at each other. It's usually a pre-conference year, our season, but this was a great game. Another team that continues to shock. I don't know if they're shocking the conference because the Missouri Valley Conference isn't that good, but still, the shockers of Wichita State, Don, undefeated, still won a big game at Indiana State, an Indiana State team that's a pretty good basketball team, really needed this game if they were going to have a chance to get into the big dance. But Wichita State went in, they handled their business and got another victory. They got a win over Evansville a few nights before that, where they fell behind early in the game at home but came back and won it. Wichita State of the Missouri Valley Conference, Don, I really believe they will run the gamut and be undefeated going in to the NCAA tournament.
Well, it sure looks that way, but as you know, Coach, it's hard to do that. I mean, they've still got several games left in their conference. They play in the Missouri Valley Conference, where they're 11-0. They're 24-0 overall, fourth-ranked in the country. And it's every week that pressure builds, and it's going to get tougher and tougher for them. Then they have to go into their tournament. So if they run the table, there is no doubt they should be a number one seed in the NCAA tournament. I'm not sure. I haven't had the opportunity to see them very often. I caught one of their games early in the season, but at that point, nobody was thinking that they're going to be undefeated at this point. So it's hard to do what they're doing, and I hope they continue to stay on that roll.
Well, the one reason, Don, I believe that they can do it is I look at the Missouri Valley Conference without Creighton, and we know how good Creighton is this year. But when you look at the total conference in the Missouri Valley, as I look at the statistics, there's only two teams with winning records. Wichita State, obviously, is tough. Indiana State, excuse me, there's three or four teams with winning records, but barely winning records. The conference is just not what it used to be. You've got Wichita State 23-0, Indiana State 17-5, Missouri State 15-7. Then you drop down to Illinois State 12-10, and after that, they are 500 and less all the way down. And so I think that Wichita State, now I will say there is a chance you could get into tournament play, Don, and they usually have that over in St. Louis. They could get into tournament play and have a situation happen, but I don't know. I don't see it happening right now.
Well, they've got a target on their back, and so every team is going to be after them, and that's probably enough for one of these teams to really put together the kind of game that they need to do. And, you know, these mid-major conferences, I know Missouri Valley doesn't look as strong, particularly with Creighton leaving and all, but there's a lot of good players and there's a lot of good basketball being played in these conferences. And they don't have to beat them eight times, Coach. They just got to beat them once.
You're right. It only takes one loss to put that blemish on there. But again, Wichita State undefeated, Syracuse undefeated. They look pretty solid. I still think Syracuse has the tough road to go. I don't think anybody would question that. Wichita State, a great chance. I'll tell you what, we're going to go to break here, Don. We're going to take our first break, and when we come back with our next segment, we're going to be talking to a guy that I have a lot of respect for. I know he's special to our family, and that's the head basketball coach of the Lady Wildcats, Ryan Ernie. Ryan's going to join us. We're going to talk a little bit about his Wildcat team, his coaching staff, and a big first-round game against a county rival. You know, it reminds me of the old boys sectional over in Southridge where you're hooking up with your county rivals first game out. That's really a lot of fun and not so much fun at the same time, but Ryan's team is playing well. We'll talk to Ryan. Any questions that you might have, remember you can contact us you can call into the show at 1-773-897-1670. 6325, or you can text the coach, Coach K in Schulteis. You can text me at 812-480-9449. We're going to go to break, folks. The Coach K Bro and No Joe Show today, anyway. We're going to go to break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking with Jasper Lady Wildcat head coach Ryan Ernie. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit ideafusionmedia.com. That's ideafusionmedia.com.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar & Sons Toyota in Jasper. You know what happens when you sell a bunch of new Toyotas? You trade for hundreds of great pre-owned cars, trucks, vans, and sport utilities. Many are certified, have factory warranty remaining, fully inspected, and they're all priced to sell. Hurry in for the best selection. Ubelar & Sons Toyota, where customers send their friends for a great pre-owned vehicle since 1929.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Hi, this is Tyler Zeller, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. You're talking with the coach, Ken Schulteis, and, of course, my sidekick today is my bro, in real life, and our Indianapolis contributor, Don Schulteis. Joe is not with us. It's a no-Joe show today. So our first guest in our second segment of the day, the head basketball coach for the Lady Wildcats, does a tremendous job, played for me in high school, absolutely does the game the way it's supposed to be done, been able to catch his team twice this year, earlier in the season, and recently in the last couple weeks, and the progress is just exactly what it's supposed to be. They're getting ready for the IHSA Girls Sectional Tournament. I welcome to the show the head coach, Ryan Ernie. Ryan, good to have you on the show.
Glad to be here today. Appreciate it.
Well, Coach, I'll tell you what, you've kind of been battling. You've kind of had to play meteorologist or weatherman, so to speak. You guys have battled the snow, the cold, games being canceled, postponed, rescheduled. Let me start with just right there. How have you adjusted as a coach and kept these girls on some kind of a organized timetable to get to this point in the season?
Well, it's frustrating. But, you know, there's not one thing we've learned is you can't control the weather. And, you know, that's just something that we come in every day and all right, next opponent up, and we go to work, and, you know, with these breaks, you kind of lose a little bit of the conditioning, you know, so some of that is also we got to get our legs back underneath us, so we try to incorporate a lot of up and down drills where we're not just running, but we're also dribbling, we're passing, we're shooting, to try to get us maximize as much of the practice time that we can, and it's, you know, it's frustrating, but everybody in the state this year, I think, has been in the same boat with games getting canceled and rescheduled, and, you know, we're going to play, I think, Terre Haute South on Saturday, so that was, you know, we couldn't get the Forest Park game in, so we were scrambling just to try to find somebody to finish out the schedule with, so, we at least get a play one more time before we head into a sectional play.
You know, for our listeners, you may not realize from a coaching standpoint, from a player standpoint, if you haven't played, it is important to go into that tournament and at least get a game in somewhere in 4 or 5 days before that tournament starts, just to keep people in a rhythm. Now, Ryan, you guys started out the year in a little bit of a struggle. You had a team that lost some key players from the year before. And the one thing that I love about how you approach the game, you may start the year out, you talk about some of the people that are not there anymore, the kids that are there, and then from that point you shut it down, and it's all about this is the team this year, this is what we've got to do, this is what we've got to become. And it's not we're young or we're inexperienced. It's all about this. Girls have games under their belt. They have practice under their belt. This team is going to get better.
They are. And that's, you know, the mindset. You know, we, as a coach, we throw the record out the window. We don't care what our record is. You know, we play some pretty good basketball teams this year. At one point, I think we counted 8 Division I players on our schedule. And as a coach, that's the opportunity for us to get better. And I think the one thing that we've done is from the beginning of the season to where we are now, we have just grown as a basketball team. We on all facets of the game, and you know, early on we took some lumps and we learned some lessons the hard way. But that's why you play some of those games and some of the teams we have on our schedule too, so they can expose those things. And as you get to the tournament, those are things that we now fixed, and hopefully we can carry forward into the tournament.
I know at one point in the season you had reeled off about 6 games straight or 6 out of 7, 7 out of 8, something like that. But you talk about some of the teams you've played. You played Princeton, which the game I caught at beautiful Jasper Basketball Arena with Jackie Young, who is not only highly regarded in the state as a sophomore, she's highly regarded nationally as a player at Princeton being undefeated. You played Tyra Buss. The second all-time leading scorer in the nation. She had 55 points last night with Mount Carmel. You played the Munsterman girl at Mater Dei. They're number 2 ranked in the team. She's one of the all-time state leading scorers. I mean, your girls have actually had to go out, as you said, play against top-notch talent, and they have continued to get better. Even in that Princeton game, Coach, and let me compliment you. I came up for that Princeton game. I thought you guys did a tremendous job, even though you didn't win the basketball game, from at least from where I was standing, watching you stay within your game plan. You kept it within 2 or 3 possessions almost the entire game. If it started to get away, you got the timeout, you made the adjustment. You know, Jackie Young is a heck of a player. If you don't get a body on her and she shoots a shot underneath, she's going to get a rebound if she misses it. But your girls did a great job of being in a situation, running the game plan that you wanted to run, and being in a position to win that game, had a couple things fall in your way. But the other thing I wanted to compliment you on, Coach, and you might talk a little bit about them before we get into your players, your coaching staff. I always watch the coaching staff when I go watch basketball games. I did it when I scouted as a coach. Because I wanted to know how in tune the coaching staff was to what was going on in the game. I watched you and your staff. They were right in there talking to the girls on the floor, talking as they came off, talking with each other to stay within the game plan, to have a chance to win a conference championship and be a great team in Princeton. Tell us a little bit about your coaching staff.
Well, to be a successful, you know, team, you've got to have good people around you, and I feel that we've got some of the best. You know, I'll start with my varsity assistant, Phil Kendall. You know, he played for a couple of years, but he knew that baseball was his thing. But he's got such a great basketball mind. The guy is great at just scouting things out, he can watch a play, write it down. And that's where he is such an asset on the floor as you know, Princeton's coming down, any team's coming down, they call out a play. He knows what it is and knows where everybody's going to go. So as a head coach, I let him kind of deal a lot with the other team's offense. So we scout together. He's working on that, and I'm working on personnel. He calls all of our out-of-bounds plays for us, and he's got them set up in his mind. He'll run one to set up another one. You know, that takes a lot of pressure off of me. Scott Blasey, our freshman coach, he coaches freshmen. He's our strength and conditioning coach. He coaches sixth grade. He loves the game of basketball. He scouts. He probably scouts more than all of us put together sometimes. When we're playing, he's out on the road scouting teams. Dave Lesko, our JV coach, been around the game a long time, had a daughter go through the program, coached under you. So he knows the game of basketball. We've got a lot of guys on our staff, and we added Adelaide Schwering this year. She played for the Dubois Jeeps went on to play in college and just has a lot of knowledge of the game, and she's been a great asset. And those, you know, the five of us work together. It's not just, well, this is my team or my program. This is our program. And they're much invested. And, you know, I'm asking, what do you think? And at halftime, you know, on the way in with Princeton, Blazey's like, I think we need to try to maybe double team or get the ball out of the hands, out of Jackie Young's hands. And that's what we did. And, you know, so it's not, this is my decision. It's, hey, what do you guys think? You know, do we need a sub here? And those guys are really good about giving them, you know, suggestions, and ultimately I have to make the decision. But it's nice to have some ears on the bench and some other thoughts that they see, because you don't see it all, because you get caught up in the flow of the game sometimes and you miss things, and those guys are there, and they're right there all the time giving suggestions.
Yeah, Coach, I agree with you totally. I think in the end, the head coach has a feel for his team, has a feel for the game. It's instinctive, but it's great to have multiple eyes, multiple minds working, and funneling thoughts and ideas to the head coach. And I know there'll be different times during the game where you're listening or you're responding, but you're always in tune to your assistant coaches, because that's important. In the end, though, you've got to make those calls. Coach, you're getting ready to go into the girls' sectional tournament. Your team's playing pretty well. As I said, I saw them early in the year. I think you have improved 100%. Just in the girls' flow on the floor, understanding what you want, reversing the basketball, trying to do the things the right way. Jasper goes into this sectional with 19 sectional championships overall, and I believe the IHSA lists the girls' basketball program as sixth all-time in sectional championships in girls. The sectional is going to be over at Vincent's Lincoln this year, and you guys right out of the bat are playing against a county rival. Believe me, I know that rivalry on the boys' side. I know it's just as big on the girls' side. You'll be taking on the Southridge Raiders.
Yeah, you know, and when the draw came out, and we second game of the year, we went over, they had a 10-point lead and lost it. We did not play very well. It was one of those growing learning tools that we had to, you know, they pressed us. We didn't handle it. We took some ill-advised shots at the wrong time. A lot of coaching moments in that game, you know, so I know some of our girls were looking forward to, you know, maybe possibly having this rematch, and, you know, as a coach, you want that, hey, this is a county rival, it's a shame we got to drive 75 miles each, I think, to get over there and play each other, but, you know, they've been out of our sectional a couple of years, we played them a few years ago, we beat them in a sectional final with Megan Sternberg. We beat them down at Pike Central in the sectional final. So there's a little history here in the past couple of years with Southridge. Coach Warner does a nice job with them. But it is, it's that county rival, and it should be an exciting game.
You know, Coach, you can't play that game and have success without some solid players, both on and off the court. They've got to be with it mentally as well as physically. Tell us a little bit about your team, some of the key, and everybody, and I'm saying this as a coach, and I mean this, every player on the team is critical, whether they're playing a lot in the games or not, because practice is so important in competition and preparation for being a successful team in the games. But tell us a little bit about some of your key players and seniors and different things that you've got and who's gotten you to this point.
Well, you know, you make a great point, and I was really aggravated yesterday at practice with our second group, our white team. You know, they just were kind of going through the motions, and that group, even though they don't realize it, is so important to our success, because they've got to push our varsity kids, our starters, to make them better basketball players. You know, so that was something yesterday. I was really frustrated with our white team, and I actually had to stop practice and get out and get after them a little bit. And talk about, this is what we need out of you. And, you know, and you look at our team, we're led by three seniors. You got, we'll start with Tori Summersheim, who last year didn't know if she wanted to play at all and decided to come out. And I didn't know if she was going to come out this year. Tori's a volleyball first kid, but she has exceeded every expectation that I've had for her this year, averaging about 15 points a game, a couple steals a game, four or five rebounds per game, just a phenomenal athlete. You know, when she was in middle school, she was more of a guard, was a three-point shooter, and now she's down by the block, posting up, slashing to the basket, 15-foot and in is where she lives. And she plays extremely hard. you know, and she's kind of the resident goofball on our team. You know, she's the cut up. She makes practice fun. I mean, she's a dandy. You know, I love all of our kids, but she's so funny with some of the things that she says and brings up with, you know, picks on Coach and I, like we're, you know, brothers to her. She's just a good kid, you know, and we, Brooke Leakin, here's a kid who, if you look in the paper, you don't see Brooke's name for scoring a lot of points. But she is an important player on our team because she rebounds and she defends. And you know how important that is, especially to me, because if we're going to go anywhere, we're going to have to play some defense. And she does. She just understands the defense of how to get positioning. Coach Schwering has worked with her on using her lower legs to kind of root some of those kids out. And Brooke's 5'8", and she's guarded anywhere from 6'4", Rebecca Nungi at Castle, or 6'2", Rebecca Nungi at Castle, to the couple of the Bedford girls, Jenna Allen, who's going to be playing at IU in a couple years. You know, so Brooke is just strong. She gets her hands on the ball. She's not going to – nobody's going to get it away from her. And our other seniors, Emily Jones, our point guard, kind of been up and down this year. You know, and you got to have a good point guard and who understands the game. And I think Emily's growing into that role and finally understanding, okay, this is what we need. You know, she can shoot the ball when we need her to. But I thought at times she's getting better at making better decisions, getting us into her offense and making that extra pass. You know, that's something that she's going to have to continue to do. You look at Maddie Ubelor, who's really come on as of late. Early on, she was struggling shooting the ball, just had a lot going on in her mind, and we were able to kind of clear some of that for her. And just really has been shooting the basketball extremely well. Elizabeth Albrand, another junior who's really played well for us this year. We need her, you know, we kind of think she's our X factor. If Elizabeth can score, we're going to be really successful because she can defend and she can rebound. She's a coach's kid, really smart. But we need her to score the basketball for us to be successful coming up in the tournament.
Well, Coach, when you look at this team overall, you've played against some pretty good players. We have a question for you. That came in, and they want to know, Coach Ernie, who's the better player that your team has gone up against? Is it Tyra Buss, Jackie Young, or Munsterman from Modern Day?
We've had this discussion amongst the coaching staff. I said as freshman, I would have taken Munsterman over Buss. I would still probably take Mara over Buss because I just think Mara Munsterman can do more things defensively. Jackie Young, we've only seen her for 2 years, and she could be better than both of them. You know, Jackie is just, you know, you saw her play. It's like she's going, the game's going 100 miles an hour, but Jackie's only going 70. You know, she's never in a hurry. She sees the floor so well. You know, I think Jackie could be the best of the three. You know, they're all really good kids, and they all do, you know, some different things. You know, Tyra's more of a pure scorer. I think Jackie's the best passer out of all of them. But, you know, we held Jackie, but, you know, she had 28, 13, and I think 9 assists. So I mean, she's kind of a well-rounded player. You know, we held her to one field goal in the second half. She still had 28 points. And she just impacts the game so much. You know, I don't know her defense. They play a lot of zone, but I'm assuming she can guard. She's long. She's 6 foot tall. You know, you can't teach some of the things that the body control that Jackie has. So they're all very special in their own right, but I think she could be the best of all three of them.
I would have to agree with you. I think Mara Munsterman has done a great job. She can go through a game and score 30 points, and you really don't realize it. Tyra Buss, she made a fan out of me when I watched her because the way she just played. She was like a water bug going everywhere out on the floor and just doing such a great job. And obviously she's got to have the ball in her hands a little bit more because her team's not quite as strong. But Jackie Young, her upside because of her well-rounded game and her physical size is going to be such an advantage. And you're right. You made the great statement, Coach, when you said the game's going 100 miles an hour, but she's only going 70. And I remember late in the game you guys needed to get a stop. And you double-teamed her to get the ball out of her hands. You got it out of her hands, and your defender left her for just a split second. She got the ball back, and she was so much under control. She saw her opening on the baseline, took it straight to the basket, and really kind of changed that last part of the game. But she sees the floor well. I think she has to improve her footwork. Obviously, anybody that's a sophomore does, and she has to work on her ball handling with both hands. But I'll tell you what, she's still way ahead of the game. There's no doubt about it.
Oh, yeah.
Coach, you have a family much like mine, big, large family, beautiful wife, growing family of kids, but brother, you just have a big family, uncles, aunts, grandparents, and they love basketball, and they love Jasper sports, and they love following Coach Ryan Ernie. And I know when I was coaching, it was the same way for me. It's got to be great, even when they give you their opinion, it's still got to be great to have that kind of family support.
It is. You know, I look up in the stands, and, you know, my parents are there pretty well every game. They went to Bedford, North Harrison, Mount Vernon. You know, they're still following me, coaching. My grandpa is 92. My grandma's 86. The Herald just had an article on them, how they come to the games. And, you know, grandpa was there through the, 49 team, following them up to the state finals. So, you know, my sisters, I got aunts and uncles that come. And it just means a lot to see your family out there supporting you. You know, I can call, dad after a game and, just vent something to him. And he may not know the most about basketball, but he's been around it. He knows a lot. And, he doesn't get off her opinion. He just, kind of agrees, hey, yep, I saw that too. So it's nice to have those, that support there up in the stands, knowing that, they got your back and that they're there cheering on you and your team.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt that having that kind of family support helps you as a coach. It also helps you to teach your own team how to be a family. Coach, I will say this before I let you go, and we appreciate your time. For your players who are listening or any of our young players who are listening, Ryan Ernie is the reason you keep working hard as a player. You may not be there as a sophomore. You may not be there as a junior. But I can tell you, if you keep working at it, if you find your niche, if you're willing to commit yourself and be what the team needs, you will find yourself on the floor and a big part of the team. And that's what you were for my teams, Ryan, and I certainly appreciate it. You prove that if you hang in there, as a senior, you can be a part of great opportunities.
You're exactly right. And I, sometimes go back to, my playing days, and they kind of laugh. And, my senior year, we played some pretty good basketball teams and pretty good players. And here it's 15, 16 years removed. And I still remember those moments and what it took to get there. And, that's the approach that we kind of take with our kids, that nothing's going to be given to you. You're going to have to work hard. If you want to play for our team, you're going to have to do the little things because that's what's going to make us successful. And, I was grateful that you put that in us. You instilled those little things are so important. And there's still not a day goes by that I don't wish we could have got that semi-state victory at the Holman Center because it just meant the game of basketball means that much to me. And, I know it hurts, but we had a lot of good memories, and you can learn a lot from the game of basketball and sports in general.
Absolutely, and I don't forget those days either. They propel me in my life, and I know that they propelled you as a coach. Ryan, thanks for being with us. Have a great day. I know you guys are having a staff day. I don't know. You guys haven't had school for almost all week. It's probably been a mini vacation.
Yeah, we've only day and a half. We've been in school this week, so. That's part of it. What do? You can't control Mother Nature.
No, you can't. Good luck against Terre Haute South and in the sectional.
All right. Appreciate it, Coach.
All right. That was Ryan Ernie. We appreciate him taking the time to be with us. We're going to go to break, folks, and when we come back, Don and I are going to talk IU-Purdue, a little football recruiting, our thoughts on the recruiting classes coming in, and, of course, Alabama as the number one recruiting class. But believe it or not, a lot of people in the Big Ten are bragging about what IU's done. Did they address their defensive needs? We'll talk about it when we come back from the break. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar Chevy Cadillac in Jasper. Have you ever heard a car ad that looks too good to be true or has fast-talking fine print?
Buy before midnight tonight. Maybe okay, maybe not. You probably aren't eligible for this event. Ubelar's prices are better, but you can't know that.
You want to hear Ubelar's fine print? That's right, silence. Our prices will save you money, huge inventory, even bigger discounts. Uvalar & Sons Chevy, Cadillac, and Jasper, where customers send their friends since 1929.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Cody Zeller, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
We are back on the Coach K Pro and No Joe Show. Joe is not with us today. You got Coach K, Ken Schultheis. I am Manning, believe it or not, folks. Not I am Peyton Manning. I am Manning, the technical board for the show today. I'm multitasking. We just got done talking with Jasper, Lady Wildcat basketball coach Ryan Ernie, as they get ready to go into the tournament. Love talking to Ryan. And, of course, joining me today is my sidekick, our Indianapolis contributor, Don Schultheis. Don, let's talk a little bit about football signing day, the Hoosiers, Purdue, maybe touch on Notre Dame. We know that Alabama, once again, the Crimson Tide have the number one, at least number one rated recruiting class. The big question that IU fans want to know, and believe it or not, there are some Big Ten analysts saying that IU had one heck of a recruiting class. In fact, two back-to-back recruiting classes. Coach Kevin Wilson is saying the two best back-to-back IU football recruiting classes maybe in the history of the program. Don, did IU address its needs or not? Your thoughts?
Well, there's no doubt about it that IU had a, in terms of their recruiting classes, had a successful class. I mean, I follow Coach Wilson on Twitter, and boy, Tuesday and Wednesday, he was tweeting up a storm about the individual players. And I know a lot of that goes with just promoting his program and promoting the players that he brought in, but it sounds like he's pretty excited. They signed, I think, 26 players. And I'm quoting Coach Wilson here, bigger, longer, faster dudes to bolster that defense. So I know you question whether they've helped their defense or not, but I think that there's no doubt in his mind that they have. And we got to remember, too, they were awfully young on that defensive unit last year. A lot of their more elite players were freshmen, and they made some impacts here and there. But they've got to get more consistent, and they've got to pull themselves out of the cellar as far as statistically on defense, because, you know, to finish where they finished statistically, it was the worst defense in the Big Ten history. And, you know, that's awful.
the thing that I'm looking at, I think Coach Wilson did bring in some quality players. He's some big kids, offensive linemen, tight end, defensive backs looked a little small to me, but we'll see. You know, size, I guess, isn't everything. Athletic ability is important. But one thing that I did notice with this recruiting class, Don, we've got guys coming in from all over the country, from California, from New York, from Florida, Georgia. I mean, we have run the gamut, as well as some pretty good players out of the state of Indiana. If you've got a comment, our live listeners, you can text the coach at 812-480-9449. That's 812-480-9449. But Donna, here's the thing that I don't see people talking about, that we did address the key defensive areas that we need to. Now, granted this, just bringing in freshmen isn't going to make your defense that much better the next year. But we need to be filling those slots, because I still say that we have this great offense. We have a great – when I say great quarterbacks, I mean quarterbacks that can perform on a high level in the Big Ten. We've got some solid offensive skill players. We have got to get a defense that can get some stops, that can hold teams down. I know we played Missouri and they were much better than everybody thought, Navy much better than what everybody thought. But again, if we're going to get in that upper half of the Big Ten, if we're going to go to a bowl game and not a normal toilet bowl game that Purdue usually goes to a real bowl game, we've got to put ourselves in a position to do that defensively. No matter what sport you look at, if you look at the Super Bowl this year, Don, listen to me, defense wins big games and championships. Offense is fun. It puts you in a position to be in the game. But Seattle proved it. Miami has proved it over the years addressing their defensive needs. The Heat I'm talking about, it doesn't matter. You've got to have good defense on every level. When is Alabama at their best? When their defense is at their best. You've got to have outstanding defense if you're going to win championships. I hope IU has addressed that. I'm not sure. Now, the next question is, what about Purdue? Purdue comes out. They talk about all of the team captains they're bringing in. I hope they have some soldiers. Too many chiefs on the field, not enough Indians, to use an analogy. Too many lieutenants, captains, and not enough infantry on the field. Don, is this just a bunch of blarney by Purdue, who is still struggling on the recruiting, that Coach Hazel does not have the good kind of recruiting class he needs? So you say, I got a bunch of team captains. I guarantee you there are a lot of team captains recruited every year from high school teams. My gosh, the team captains are usually the best players.
No doubt about that, Coach. I mean, I think reading between the lines, you know, it's going to take another year or two before Purdue staff is going to be able to make the inroads within the high school recruiting lines to get higher quality players. I'm not saying that they don't have some quality players, but as you point out, aren't the D1 caliber players, whether they're small, mid, or major D1 players, usually the captains of their high school team? I guess the one could look at it that it's better than not recruiting the captains of the team. So, you know, Purdue has 18 captains. That was the headline that I read about. It tells me that there's not a lot of quality substance there to make a big splash about. And Coach Hazel, who I do think is a fine man and fine coach, is eventually going to get that thing turned around. It just takes a lot of work. And we've seen it at IU, Coach. I mean, with Wilson, it's taken – this is what, going to be his fourth year. And, boy, those first 2 years or so from the recruiting standpoint were lean and low. And only the last 2 years has Indiana, you know, got some attention with the level and consistency of their recruiting. So it's going to take some time. And just wanted to point out one thing. I know Tom Dienhardt is a regular on the show as a guest, and he did, even being a Purdue fan, did say that he tweeted out the other day that he thought Indiana might have had the most pleasantly surprising class in the Big Ten.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. We have a number. It's not just Coach Wilson. There's a number of analysts who follow the Big Ten who feel like IU has put the back-to-back recruiting classes that are upper level in the Big Ten. I think that's great. I think it absolutely is. But again, there are key needs on the defensive side to be addressed. Now, was one of it the defensive coordinator? We'll find out. We've got the defensive coordinator coming in. We tried to get Coach Wilson on the show this week. We were not able to do that. We're going to try to get him or one of his assistants on next week to talk a little bit about this recruiting. It would be great if we could get the new defensive coordinator on. We'll have to talk to Joe about getting that done. But
that's what he's doing, Coach. Maybe that's what he's doing right now.
The No Joe show? Maybe. I don't know. One thing, Don, I heard a lot about IU. I heard a lot about I didn't hear a lot about Purdue, and I certainly was shocked. Notre Dame did not get much press on their recruiting class. I know you and I have always followed Notre Dame football. Your thoughts on the Irish and Coach Kelly, who I think is an outstanding coach, have they hit? You know, recruiting is so critical. I really thought with what he did at Cincinnati recruiting, he would do the same at Notre Dame. But maybe he's not getting the headliners, but maybe he's getting the substance players he needs. I don't know. Your thoughts?
Well, he hopes he's getting the substance. But let me just sum up the Irish recruiting. A quote from CBS Sports recruiting analyst Tom Lemming. He said about the Irish, they address their needs at defensive tackle. It's not the guys they wanted originally, but they're still pretty good ball players. And you know what? The Irish fan base, the Irish coaching staff, and particularly Brian Kelly, they're not looking for pretty good. They want the top in the nation. And as I look at the ESPN football rankings for the 2014 football recruiting classes, you know, the rich just keep getting richer, Coach K. Alabama, LSU, Florida State, Texas A&M, Tennessee are the top five. Ohio State at number seven is the first Big Ten team. And then we don't have another Big Ten team until we get down to number 18 with Michigan. And Notre Dame comes in at number 11, and I suspect that that ranking is probably higher just because of the Notre Dame name. So, you know, you put a few years of kind of pretty good recruiting classes together, they are not going to be competing for a national championship.
Well, it goes back to the style of play in the Big Ten. Is that a detriment to its recruiting? Is the location of the Big Ten schools a detriment? You know, Colin Cowherd always says that the warm weather schools are always going to have the advantage in recruiting. We know Ohio State has a solid program, but I still believe Urban Meyer should have, as soon as that bowl game was over, should have called Texas and worked his way out to Texas and become the Longhorns coach. But I don't know. I think that speaks volumes for football in the Midwest, Don, what you just talked about. If it is true, if IU does have one of the best recruiting classes in the Big Ten and has put back-to-back recruiting classes together, it should show up next year on the field. That's the thing, folks. It's got to start showing up on the field. We've seen outstanding offense, but we have seen – I'm just going to say it. We have seen piss-poor defense. Bottom line, it hasn't been there. Stops, beginning of games, critical points, we haven't gotten the job done. And I don't want to hear about young teams. I know we hear it a lot in IU basketball. We'll talk about them a little bit later in the show. But we really need for our Hoosiers, and I love what Coach Wilson is doing, at least on two-thirds of the ball. But we have got to find a way to get that defense taken care of up in Bloomington. And if you are a Purdue fan, I'm just going to tell you, I feel sorry for you. Because I don't know between the kids who had originally said they were coming to Purdue and changed their minds, some of the you know, Don, that might be another topic. I think we had a question that we were going to do with the mailbag, but maybe we ought to look at it now, and it was about signing early. Or do you have that in front of you, question from one of our listeners?
Yes. It's a question from Jason, who's lives in Washington. He said, with so many people decommitting the last week before the football signing period, why doesn't the NCAA let a kid start signing their national letter of intent after their 17th birthday?
Well, I don't know if it matters when they let them sign. I mean, kids are decommitting. But But I'm going to throw something on the other side, and Don, we'll just take a couple minutes and talk about this before we go to our next break. I think that the kids, social media, I'm still going back to Twitter, Facebook, the texting between each other, letting know who's going to go where. I think it changes the attitude. Changes on the staff, which players may not know about until they actually get to the school. They know about in real time. But coaches, folks, listen to this. I've seen it. I've been a part of it. Coaches have done this for years where they pull a kid along or a potential player along. He thinks they're going to offer, and they get right there, and they never get the offer because they're waiting to see if they get the other guy they wanted. Or maybe he's third in line. He doesn't know he's third in line. They don't tell him he's third in line, and he's waiting, and he's waiting, and he's waiting, and he never gets the offer. And he's sitting there thinking, I thought I was going to get the offer. As far as these kids making commitments, here's the one thing I'm going to say, Don, and then I'm going to let you jump in and weigh in on this. They are kids. They are 17, 18-year-old kids. They need parents. They need mentors. They need coaches. They are not equipped to make quick decisions and commit themselves. My gosh, they can't even commit themselves to doing their homework, straightening up their room, showing up on time for dinner, cleaning off the dinner table, lifting the seat in the bathroom on the toilet. Why in the heck would we think these kids understand that when they make that verbal commitment, they're going to stick with it at that point? Emotionally, they're up and they're down and they're all over the place. Don?
I totally agree. Having raised four teenagers now, my oldest is 23, so I don't consider her a teenager anymore, but having experienced that, the emotional ups and downs are unbelievable. And to have this kind of a major decision, because if you think about it, for these athletes, this is probably the most important decision that they've made in their life up to this point. And I'm sure there's a lot of angst, there's a lot of emotion, there's a lot of people that are sound pretty convincing. You know, it's interesting, Coach Wilson at IU said that his players are some of his best recruiters, because once they get a recruit on campus, his players have been able to sell the program, and I'm sure continue to sell the program as they get the phone numbers, the mobile phone numbers for these recruits, and they can text back and forth on a continuous basis. So, you know, from one day to the next, knowing teenagers and having experienced that as I have, there's no wonder there's a lot of flip-flopping. I read one story, Coach K, that one recruit had sent in their national letter of intent to three different places, to Ole Miss, to Utah, and to a community college. And I just sit back and I wonder what is going on with this kid, and he probably doesn't want to disappoint somebody, or he probably felt really torn between all three programs, etc. But they were trying to get to the bottom of it, and I didn't find out what the resolution was. But imagine that. He sent in, you have one cheering coaching staff at Ole Miss. A couple hours later, you got Utah, because they're in a different time zone. They're cheering because they got a national letter of intent. And then the hometown JUCO is cheering because they got that commitment. So, wow, it's a lot for these kids, and just let them have some time and hopefully they'll have some good people around them to help them make those decisions.
Don, I think that's probably the most important thing in this discussion is, folks, if you have kids out there that you think have a chance to play on the next level in college, or even when they're choosing a high school, if you're in an urban area where there's multiple schools that they can attend, folks, these kids are exactly what I just said, kids. They need adult mentorship. If you don't think you can help them, then you need to find somebody that can. Because they're getting swayed and they're being told you're going to have this and you're going to have that and we're going to do this for you and we're going to do that for you. They're going to campuses seeing things they've never seen before. They need adult guidance. Hopefully, their high school coaches have taken enough time over the period that they've had them in high school, in the classroom, on the field, talking to them after practice, having them over for pizza, meals together, individual discussions. These things are critical for these young men and these young women to make a decision. It's not easy for them. They're young. Don said it great. They don't want to disappoint. They're not sure. There's indecision. So what's happening in the NCAA, I think, started before social media on the coaches' side. Social media has now given the players the upper hand or the confusing hand in all this. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to take a few minutes. We're going to talk about the Indiana Pacers, who I love, of course. We're going to talk about Coach Vogel and Larry Bird's move to sign Andrew Bynum. Was it an offensive move, a defensive move, or, you know what, if it works out, we're going to be in the catbird seat. If it doesn't, we let him go. We'll talk about that and more when we come back from break. You are listening to the Coach K, Bro, and No Joe Show today on the Coach K and Joe Show.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean, modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar & Sons Chevy Cadillac, Toyota Scion in Jasper. We've all heard the commercial, 15 minutes could save you 15. Folks, let me tell you, it won't take 15 minutes for us to save you money. Give Ubelars a call at 1-800-937-USA1 or visit us online at ubelar.com. We'll tell you the facts, treat you right, no bait and switch, and best of all, we will save you money. Ubelar Chevy Cadillac, Toyota Scion in Jasper, where customers send their friends for a lifetime of savings in 15 minutes or less since 1929.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Cody Zeller, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we are back on the Coach K and Joe Show. You're listening to the coach here, Coach Ken Schulteis, Coach K. And with me today, manning the microphone, so to speak, Don Schulteis, our Indianapolis Hoops contributor, is joining me today as Joe could not be with us. And so I'm doing multitask duties. I'm running the tech board as well. And guess what? Coach K has done a pretty decent job. What do you think, Don?
I think you're a natural, Coach, and Joe is probably shaking in his boots right now because you may be taking over that aspect of the show also.
Let's take a little time here during this segment. We're starting our second hour of the Coach K and Joe Show. If you're on Eastern time, then you know it's 11:03, and if you're on Central time, it's just after 10 o'clock. The Pacers, Bird, and Bynum. Don, interesting development with the Indiana Pacers. Everybody was kind of waiting to see what would they do. Of course, Larry Bird grew up in the Boston Celtics organization under legendary Red Auerbach, or Auerbach, however you want to pronounce it. Great coach, great GM, and he was famous for making moves, whether it was at the end of the season, critical signings, or somewhere in the middle of the season to strengthen his Celtics. But the Pacers, who are absolutely one of the best teams in the NBA with Paul George and Hibbert and company, and they're not the only players on that team. Coach Frank Vogel's done a great job in getting these guys to buy in and play on both ends of the court. And I think it starts up at the top with Larry Bird, who kind of leads the operations right now after coming back from a hiatus. It took a while to develop this franchise, this team back to where it was a true NBA contender, but they've done it. They did something interesting, though. They signed Andrew Bynum. Very talented, injured, but very talented, but has had problems throughout his NBA career. No one questions his talent. They question his focus. They question his attitude, his buy-in to the team, and game in and game out, his effort to do the things he needs to do. But this guy is talented. He's big. He's athletic. He can rebound. He can score. He can pop out on the court if he needs to, although he's better down low. There's two ways to look at this. There's multiple ways. Was this an offensive move by the Pacers to say we need to get better? He's going to get us better. Was this a defensive move by the Pacers? We're not going to let him sit out there. The Heat need another big guy. We're not going to give them a chance to pick him up. Other teams are looking for a guy who might be able to come in and help them come playoff time. We're not going to let the other teams have that opportunity. Don, let's start there with the offensive-defensive move. Is Andrew Bynum an offensive move for the Pacers or a defensive move for the Pacers?
I think both, and I think it's a shrewd move, Coach. In full disclosure, I am a Pacer fan, but I do believe that Larry Bird is one of the shrewdest people running a basketball team in the NBA today, and I think that he just smells it. I'm not saying that the Pacers are going to win at all, but I think that Larry Bird believes truly in his heart and his mind that this team could win it and that they may just need a couple of extra pieces to strengthen that second unit and play in a backup role. And for me, I thought it was a shrewd move, a great move, and we'll know here as the season plays out. And what's the downside, Coach? If he doesn't take to the culture of the team, and believe me, there is a strict culture in the locker room on this team headed by David West. If he does not fall in line and participate in that, he won't be part of it. And the Pacers will be out $1 million. I think he signed for $1 million for the rest of the season. But from their standpoint, I think it's all upside and very little downside.
Well, I definitely think it's a shrewd move, and I'm not saying that I think the downside is limited because I think this team has its identity, and I don't think the role that Andrew Bynum will play on the Pacers allows him to deflect or interrupt or change the identity of this team. You know, it's interesting, in a week in which we've been hearing about things in Cleveland and where Andrew Bynum originally was to start the season, the attitude in the locker room, they just fired their general manager or vice president of operations. They've had situations where Luol Deng is saying he came over from the Bulls. He's saying things like, they've got guys on the team who will make comments at halftime. They're going to take their jersey off and not go out for the second half. That's very disconcerting, especially when you think about the fact that Bynum started there before he was traded over to the Bulls and then cut by the Bulls. I thought he was lackluster with the Lakers. I thought, again, his attitude was questionable. And even more than his attitude, I thought his understanding of playing this game. He's a big guy. Now, here's what I do think. I think that regardless, he puts the Pacers in a position that if he will come and give them a great effort come playoff time, for sure, we can go big. We can spell Hibbert for pieces of the game. It's only going to help him. Those are all advantages that I believe weigh into the Pacers' advantage. I also think that I would rather take the chance on Andrew Bynum than have the Heat or someone else in the Eastern Conference take the chance on Andrew Bynum, because if he can put together a short season, he has not proven that he can, but if he can put together a short season, he definitely is going to help any team that he goes to. And I believe you are correct, and it's a shrewd move. I believe you are absolutely correct that if he doesn't buy in, if he's not willing to be a pacer and play and act and perform and carry himself as the Pacers want him to carry, they cut him. They don't lose much. I believe it's all upside for the Pacers. And anyone, and there were quick, when this first came out, a lot of people were questioning it. A lot of people thought this was going to be detrimental. I do not see it that way. If Hibbert was hurt and Bynum had to come in and be the starting center, be a different story. But that's not the case. He needs to be able to come in and play a key backup role, and he needs to do it for a short season. And if Andrew Bynum can do that, I think the Pacers are definitely in a stronger position, Don, to win an NBA championship.
Coach, if you cannot get yourself fired up for basically a half a season to make a run to win the NBA championship, as Andrew Bynum has an opportunity to do on a team that is capable, if not favored, to do that, then you don't belong playing professional sports. I mean, this is the ultimate opportunity for somebody like Bynum to springboard back to a higher level status player in the NBA, because who knows if the Pacers will even have enough money to sign him for a longer term contract at the end of this year. Chances are they won't, but this is his opportunity, and he has a chance to get a ring. I mean, if that doesn't fire you up every day, then you don't belong in the NBA.
Well, point well taken, Don. I mean, the Pacers are sitting there at 38-10, something like that. One of the best records in the NBA, if not the best record. Bynum has a chance to come to a team that's ready to make a run. He has a chance to absolutely elevate himself as a player. Again, if he doesn't stay with the Pacers, with some other team, change the way people look at him, change the way the perception is of Andrew Bynum as a basketball player and as a person. This is a win-win all the way around. Now, if you told me the Pacers traded for Carmelo Anthony, I'd say they're crazy. The last thing they need is somebody to come on the team. Yes, he can score, but he can't. He doesn't add to the overall team. I am so tired of the East Coast writers trying to claim that if the Knicks put some better players around Carmelo Anthony, they can win big. They said that when he was out in Denver. Everywhere Carmelo Anthony has been, they blame the organization. They blame the players around him. And I'm just talking about a handful of East Coast writers. They blame the organization. Listen, the bottom line is the Knicks won 50-plus games last year. They're not winning this year. What's changed? Carmelo Anthony, great offensive player, great offensive player. That's where I leave it. The Paul Georges, the LeBron Jameses, those guys are more rounded, complete players. They get the other people involved. Even Kevin Durant, one of the great offensive players that we will see in our generation. He can score 50, but he can also get you 8 or 10 assists or 10 rebounds in the game. He's more of a complete player, and probably nobody's playing any better right now than Kevin Durant is, and I still say that this particular injury to Westbrook has allowed Kevin Durant to grow up. It forced him to grow up. It's like the brother in the house who has to step up and play a bigger role for the family, and Kevin Durant is definitely doing that. Don, let's switch
Coach, one comment I want to make on Carmelo, because I think it's just pertinent and prudent for everybody to remember. And when I think of Carmelo and the things that you were just saying about him, he is a selfish, greedy player. And if you look at people like LeBron and you look at Paul George and you look at those leading players that have first place or top of the standing type teams, they are team players. They still get their numbers. They still, you know, are the leading scorer, rebounder, assist. They've got all that. Carmelo is a greedy player, a selfish player. I saw the great definition of our comment on greed, that greed is always thirsty and it becomes mean. And when that greed on a team overtakes, there's no wonder a team can't get out of where New York's at right now.
No doubt about it. Carmelo Anthony, I've said it before, he needs to let somebody else in the front seat with him, and he has not done that. I think Carmelo's problem, whether it's greed, selfishness, whatever it may be, I don't think he's ever grown, matured as a basketball player. And, Don, you've been around the game long enough. You grew up with it. You've been around it forever. I think you can understand what I'm saying there. He has not grown as a basketball player, expanded as a basketball player, matured as a basketball player. He has stayed the same thing that he was in college and he was in high school. Score, an offensive score. But he doesn't understand that's not enough for teams to win. And I don't care who you put with him, unless he buys into that system and becomes a team player, and maybe he doesn't understand it. Maybe he just doesn't get it. I don't know. Maybe he's a great guy, but he just doesn't get that. The team's mellows on. They're never going to have the success that they could have. And you East Coast Riders, you can tell me how great he is every day you want. He can shoot, but he's not a great basketball player. Speaking of a team that's trying to get better, we got to talk about the Hoosiers because we're out of Indiana. It's the frozen tundra right now, ice everywhere, cold, snow, but basketball is in focus. A big win by the Hoosiers after a terrible loss to Nebraska. The Hoosiers win a big game against Michigan. I will say Michigan looked like the Michigan teams that just tear me up. One-on-one, just shooting perimeter shots. It absolutely worked for the Hoosiers. This is a Hoosier team that, regardless of the Michigan victory, I still don't think they know who they are or what they need to be yet. We see glimpses of it, but if Yogi Ferrell, who has just been critical to us all year, if Yogi Ferrell does not hit some, I mean, my gosh, incredible threes, we wouldn't have won that game against Michigan. Even though we slowed the ball down, we slowed the tempo down, I'm still not sure that we really moved the basketball from side to side. I'm not sold on this team, but I know it's a team that's still working, Don. But what is your take on a team that goes to Nebraska, looks so bad, blows a 16-point lead, then is able to come back and win a game against Michigan at Assembly Hall?
Well, I think you call it youth, Coach, and that's the thing
I hate that. I'm tired of hearing they're young.
I don't think that a lot of these players have been in the situation. Now, Yogi's playing the best on this team, and hear me out. Yogi's playing the best, but you got to remember he played an entire season last year at point guard. And remember, at parts of the year last year, he was struggling offensively. He was struggling turning the ball over. And he's been able to work himself through that, working all year last year and into this year. And he's by far the brightest spot on the team. And there's a number of other players. We've got freshmen and some of the disappointing sophomores that were part of Yogi's class. And it all comes down to inconsistency. And I look around and I think that even though you don't buy it, I do think that because they haven't been there enough and they don't understand the mental makeup of how you got to bring it every night in the Big Ten. I mean, I just look at Michigan, you know, they go back and forth with IU and then they go to Nebraska and just beat the hell out of them, 79-50. It was over from the get-go. You know, Nebraska sitting there just being the whipping boy after Michigan gets that loss. But the point is that we've got to get more consistency, and whether it's youth or people stepping up, we got to find it.
Well, I just think that every time we go out as analysts, sports writers, coaching staff, whatever, after 20 games, 22 games, and we keep saying, well, we're young. This is a young team. Well, coach, this is a young team. Big Ten, I think that Fred Glass and the Big Ten have this contract this year that says, well, we bring a lot of money in, so make sure you keep talking about how young we are. I think you give your kids a crutch. I don't think it matters anymore if you're young. I mean, you are what you are. You're 22 games into the season. If you can beat Michigan at home, then you can play better against Nebraska or Penn State. You know, I understand.
That's a good point.
I've coached before. I've had the young teams, the experienced teams. I get that. But at some point, if you keep telling your kids, well, we're young, we're going to make these mistakes, at some point you got to tell them, you're veterans, you're 22 games in, this is the Big Ten, you had time to grow up. We still have to play basketball. We still have to move our feet, block out, move the basketball from side to side, go on defense. These are just normal parts of the game of basketball. If you get those things done and you can't hit the shot, or you get beat because the other team's better, I get that. But you can't continue to make excuses for your players and expect them not to make excuses for themselves. They are on scholarship. They are 22 games in. They can beat Michigan at home. They can play Michigan State close. Whatever it might be, you can't make excuses, because then they have this crutch. Does that make sense to you at all, Don?
Yeah, I agree, and I don't think that Coach Crean is putting any excuses on the board. I think it comes down to people stepping up in mental preparation as well as practice and physical preparation. One other thing that I just wanted to point out is, as I sat there, and we did end up beating Michigan, but when I see two walk-ons come in the game during crucial periods of time, I think of two things. Either Crean's made some really big mistakes recruiting legitimate scholarship players, or he's trying to make a point to some of those scholarship players what it takes to get minutes in the game. But we are not going to get very far in the Big Ten, nor reach our goals with the NCAA tournament by fielding a 5'10 walk-on point guard and a 6'8 walk-on, you know, forward that wasn't even recruited. So I know that it's nothing personal against those young men. They work hard, but this is Indiana, right? As the song goes, this is Indiana. And we're not going to get very far with that kind of talent or lack thereof on the floor against the teams we play night in and night out.
And you make a legitimate point. I mean, we're playing some, you know, it's not a cute story. And I know some fans will say, well, isn't that so cute that the walk, isn't that nice that the walk-ons get a play? No, it's not nice. We got a coaching staff that's got $5 million worth of contracts. We've got players who are getting $80,000 worth of scholarships to come play basketball. They're the ones that should be out there playing, especially in the first half and the second half. I mean, I'm glad that there's walk-on opportunities and they can work hard, but you can't tell me that Jeremy Hollowell these other super sophomores that we were supposed to have aren't the ones that should be out on that court. And if they are not working hard enough, if they are not making the commitment, maybe they shouldn't be there anymore. And maybe that's why the walk-ons are playing. Now, having said that, this isn't an anti-IU Coach Crean in a staff statement. We're Hoosier fans, and we're always going to support the Hoosiers. But sometimes, as a former coach, and who knows what the future brings, you got to quit giving your kids crutches by saying, well, we're young. And I know, Don, that you said, well, he doesn't make excuses, but I read Twitters, I read interviews, and it's always, well, this is what you have to do with a young team. Well, this is what happens with a young team. Listen, we know they're freshmen and sophomores. And I will say this, if Oladipo and Cody Zeller were back on this team, we'd be in the hunt. We'd be in the hunt for a Big Ten championship. We'd be in the top 5-7 teams in the country, if not number one. But they're not. The NCAA lets you leave early. Cody Zeller's going to make $17 million over the next 4 years, and Oladipo's going to make $20, $21 million. You can't blame them. That's the great opportunity that Coach Crean and his staff gave those young men. But we got vaunted recruiting classes the last 2 years. At least their YouTube videos said they were. And that's another story you've heard me talk about, AAU and YouTube videos, and look how great they are. But the bottom line is, can you play and function within the team? And, Don, I will say this is so critical. It's not how many talented players you have on your team. It's when you put five guys on the floor, do they fit? Do you have shooters, passers? Can they defend? Will they be fundamental? Do you have some rebounders? Will they move the ball? Do they understand the game? And I think that this is a team that has just struggled to find leadership on the floor and find six or seven guys who can connect out on that floor. And that leads me to the other thing. Coaches, I said it last week, please, when your players are on a roll, quit substituting. When your players have hit three or four shots in a row, don't substitute them out. Don't have the assistant coach sitting there with a substitution plan, sending two new guys in, expecting to get the same momentum. Ridiculous. 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 Okay.
Agreed, Coach.
We're going to go to ridiculous. Do you take your best salesman off the road to put somebody else out there after he's been hot?
When did this
start
happening? That's what I'm trying to understand. Back in the day, but the players that were on a roll kept playing because they were in the zone, and it's not always easy to get into that zone. And all of a sudden, you get somebody that's hit a couple of shots or made some really good plays, and then you take them out and try to get somebody that hasn't even worked up a sweat yet to come in and play at that level. It's hard to do.
It started Rick Pitino, but Rick Pitino did it because he was pressing full court the entire game. A lot of his players were the same level, and he was trying to get as much out of them defensively as he could to wear the other team out, to make them make mistakes, and everybody caught on. And then I guess it became a way to keep guys happy. But listen, the game isn't played that way. The pros don't do that. High school teams definitely shouldn't do that. They don't have the personnel. And what I'm seeing in college with all these young guys going early, they definitely don't have the players to do that. And they're, not every team does it, but too many teams do it. When your players are hot, head coach, please turn to your assistant and say, hold off the substitutions right now. Let's let this run its course. Maybe get you back in the game. Maybe get you a 10-point lead. Maybe put you in a position to win a basketball game that you really need to win. I know that I say it again. I said it last week, Don. 16, 17, 18, 19, 21-year-old people, girls and boys, guys and gals, They're in the best shape of their life. You tell me they can't play more than 4 minutes, 5 minutes in a row?
I don't know what to say. I can't argue with that. I agree. Plus, as a player, you always wanted to play the entire game if possible. And I get the if you're pressing full court and going at the level, but hey, if you've got the mojo running, you've got to ride that horse.
And so that leads me back to the recruiting question. Are you just recruiting the very best athletes, the very best players? Are you recruiting a team that for the next couple of years can work together, grow, and become a solid basketball team? And I know that's tough because the money in the NBA is huge. There's no way you can tell a young man, don't go, especially if he has a chance to earn $1 million, $2 million, $3 million dollars. Even if that's the total amount he earns in the NBA, folks, it's tough to earn that money elsewhere. Don, that leads me to one more thing, and I was going to take a break, but I think I'm going to work through this break for just a couple more minutes. The question has come up, and it started with an article on Eddie George, who played for the Tennessee Titans, and I think Ohio State College, outstanding running back. And he did an article with the Tennessean out of Nashville, and he talked about the fact that when his career was done, he just felt like it's over. It just like the door was shut, and he struggled for a year or two, didn't know where he was going to go, what he was going to do. Even though he had plenty of money, even though he had some business, he was trying to find himself. I think what has happened is some of the media, the mothership especially, because they have to fill time, they're going over and over and over in this, and Bleeding Heart, Mike Greenberg says, you know, should pro sports do more for these athletes? Here's my question and thought with it, and then I'll let you answer before we go to break. These guys go into the NBA, the NFL, the Major League Baseball. A lot of them, at least in the NFL and the NBA, have had some college opportunity to grow as a student, to grow intellectually, to grow mentally. They go into these pro sports. Their careers are over after 1 year, 5 years, 17 years, 20 years. I don't know. And now some of them are saying, well, these leagues owe us more. You know, all I did was want to commit myself to the NBA. Well, let me tell you something. There's a lot of people out there, and they number in the millions, who go to work for companies, and companies lay them off, and companies close their door, and companies say, we're going in a different direction. And all of a sudden, they don't have a job. They don't have a position. They don't have an income. What makes an NBA player, a Major League Baseball player, an NFL player any different? Why should they be given special counseling, more opportunities than Tom, Dick, Harry, Ann, and Gwen out there who have been paying to go watch these people play and been the reason they have the big salaries? I really think that somewhere along the line we need to stick with what Eddie George was talking about. He was talking about a change in his life that was hard emotionally. And I've been through it, and I know that our listeners, many of you who listen, have been through it. It's part of the process that we go through as adults, as employees, as parents, as spouses. I think what Eddie George was trying to say was it's not simple whether you're a pro athlete or not. When it's over, you go through periods. Some people go through lower periods than others, but it's a transition time, and it's tough. I don't think that Eddie George really meant that they just left me out in the cold. I had nobody. I think that was taken to a new level. Don, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, the emotional void that getting out of sports, particularly when you play at a high level in college, it's one thing to coach or play at high school, but then you do it at a college level where you got thousands upon thousands in the stands at any given time for a game, and then you've got, you know, tens of thousands followers that are filling you with all kinds accolades and et cetera, I'm sure the emotional void that's created when you unplug yourself from that has got to be incredible. And that goes back to handle that, it just goes back to who you have around you. And I'm sure the professional teams and probably college teams have resources where, you know, you can get some help in that direction. Talk to people and your peers that you play with. You're probably all in it together. You should be able to get some of that kind of thing. But as far as people owing you that, I don't believe that there's a gun to anybody's head to sign a scholarship and to play for Alabama or to play for Indiana. It's your choice. And that's, again, it goes back to make the most of your opportunities, because that window of opportunity only stays open for so long, and you've just got to make the most of that opportunity and plan ahead.
And I think you said it right. And I think in the end, whenever, and I call it the 3-year rule, and, you know, a good friend of ours, Scott Rowland, who is out of baseball, I don't think he's coming back. I don't think he's ever officially retired. But I call it a 3-year rule. It takes a year to exhale from what you just did. It takes 2 years to see where you're at. You know, where am I going? What am I doing? And it takes a third year to finally get there. And so I'm not discounting that there's an emotional down period when you leave a job or these athletes are done with their pro careers. I think it's very tough. You go from the front pages and everybody's celebrity to middle class mediocrity. Each month that goes by, each year that goes by, you no longer get the perks. You're no longer noticed. They don't give you the best table in the house. And even at the gate at the field you played on, you start on, or the gym that you played in and scored 50 points in, you don't get in free necessarily. So I know it's tough, but millions of Americans go through that. They're hardworking people, they do it every day. And I don't discount the difficulty of it, but let's not make this an isolated thing. We all have difficulty. We're gonna go to a quick break. When we come back, I'm gonna tell you spring training dates for Major League Baseball ready to start. And then Don and I will end up talking a little high school basketball, what's going on this weekend. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar & Sons Chevy.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar & Sons Chevy Cadillac, Toyota Scion, and Jasper. We've all heard the commercial, 15 minutes could save you 15. Folks, let me tell you, it won't take 15 minutes for us to save you money. Give Ubelars a call at 1-800-937-USA1 or visit us online at ubelar.com. We'll tell you the facts, treat you right, no bait and switch, and best of all, we will save you money. Ubelar Chevy Cadillac, Toyota Scion, and Jasper, where customers send their friends for a lifetime of savings in 15 minutes or less since 1929.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Cody Zeller, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. And folks, if you're, you know, this is a great time to get out there. I know it's cold, it's a great time to go see Tony and the guys at Ubilor and Son and check out the vehicles. And you're probably ready to get out in the vehicle and travel a little bit. You can also go online and look at their selection. Tony and the Ubilor family have just been great throughout the tri-state area, Indiana, Kentucky, Illinois, and a lot of other places, helping out families for their auto needs. Also, folks, this is a great time. You know, we're at the start of a new year. IRAs, 529s, Roth IRAs, the tax man cometh. It's time to get your money and put it somewhere where you can't get too much of it, or at least what you worked so hard to get will continue to grow and perpetuate for you. Go see Janet Schulteis at Edward Jones, financial advisor Janet Schulteis at Edward Jones. Edward Jones is one of the great financial advisory companies there is, period, bar none. They'll put a plan together for you. They'll look at your risk tolerance. They'll help put you and your family in a situation to prosper and perpetuate what you work so hard to get. Give Janet a call at her office, 812-479-8215. I'm sure her capable assistant, Beth Geltz, will answer, or Janet will answer, and they'll get you set up and ready to go. Again, that's Janet Schulteis. Edward Jones, 812-479-8215. Don, we come to our last segment of the show. And I got to tell you, it's cold. It's ice. It's snowy. But we got to at least let people know spring training is right around the corner. And I mean right around the corner. For the National League pitchers and catchers, American League pitchers and catchers, they are reporting right now, Arizona, February 7th. L.A. Dodgers, Don Mattingly, of course, from the Indiana, Evansville area, February 9th. What a great season they had and should continue to have going forward. Plus, he got a nice contract, and he definitely deserved it. Donnie Baseball did. Baltimore to Boston to Toronto to the Mets to Milwaukee, all the way through to February 17th, pitchers and catchers. And the full squad start coming in February 19th on through the 23rd. Our Yankees, Don, February 15th, February 20th, boy, they didn't do much in the offseason. They did get a big name, at least Japanese pitcher. Whether that's enough to get them back in the race, I don't know. Boston, of course, will be solid. Baltimore ever improving. What do you think about that? We got ice, we got snow, we got the frozen tundra, but baseball starting to come together.
Well, I'm sick of this winter personally, and I'm usually a guy that likes snow and enjoy getting out in it and walking in it, but I'll tell you, this last one up here in Indianapolis earlier in the week has pushed me over the edge, and today it's 0 degrees when I got out of the car to walk into my office studio where I'm broadcasting the Coach K and No Show Joe show. But the sun is out, and boy, when I see the sun out, I do think of baseball, and would it be great to take a vacation and either go to Arizona or Florida and just hang out for a week or two and travel from one of these spring training stadiums to another to watch them play and get fired up for baseball season here in the next couple months.
You know, Don, that's a great idea. And the Coach K and Joe show can go on location. We have the capabilities of doing that. And maybe we'll just have to do that. Maybe we'll look at some spring training opportunities and see if we can't find our way down there at least for a couple days over the show time period on Friday and put together some warm sun, hopefully some warm sun, because we know that it's gotten below freezing down all the way into Florida. So we'll just have to see, but we'll see what happens. Let's look at some Indiana high school basketball. Of course, a lot of games, folks, have been compromised due to the weather, but it looks like we should get some games in tonight and this weekend. Just to run through a few games in the southern part of the state, we always we talk pro, we talk college, but we talk high school sports as well. We're talking a little bit about Indiana right now. Jeffersonville at Wright's, Jeff's got a solid team. Wright's a solid team. Central, who's been playing pretty well at North. North is struggling. Harrison and Memorial. I just bragged on Memorial last weekend here in Evansville as a sleeper team that's really a quality team, and they went out and got beat by Princeton by like 25 points, but they did beat Modern Day the next night in Southern Indiana, Springs Valley at Cannleton, Bloomfield at North Davies, Northeast Dubois at North Knox, Washington Catholic, old school I coached, at South Central, Shoals, South Knox, Mount Carmel, a decent team out of Illinois, plays at Jasper, Pike Central at Tell City, Washington, struggling this year. They've had some injuries as well as a team that's just struggled against Vincennes Lincoln. Southridge at North Posey. Southridge is playing pretty well. Boonville at Heritage Hills. Heritage Hills been up and down the last few weeks, but still have a pretty solid team. And then, again, some of the rankings. Don, up north, there's a lot in the Indianapolis area. Lawrence North, number one in the coaches' poll. Bedford North, no, let me look. Make sure I'm
That's
looking
girls.
At the right.
That's girls.
Yeah, I'm looking at the girls. Sorry about that, folks. I'm checking out in my multitasking job, I'm looking at the wrong one. Don, a couple of the big games up in Indianapolis this weekend.
Well, there are some really nice games. We have been snowed out quite a bit or colded out, temperatured out here early part of the week, but it looks like all the games this weekend are going to go on. Before I mention a few of those, I did want to highlight that last weekend after Indianapolis Tech, who was number one in 4A, won the city tournament over Cathedral, they ended up getting beat by Hamilton Southeastern, a very good Hamilton Southeastern team on Saturday night. I think they got beat by 6 or 7 points. And it just goes to show you that the teams, really good teams, can get beat because there's some really good, talented teams up here. And night in and night out, it's tough. You got to be playing at your highest level almost every night. Park Tudor also got beat by North Central last weekend, and Park Tudor is the reigning Marion County champions and were ranked probably number two overall in the state, even though they're a 2A team. So I wouldn't call them upsets, but defeats. But as we kick in into the last month of the season for the boys on the high school level this weekend, we've got some rivalries that are scheduled. Bishop Chittard is at Roncalli tonight, although neither one of those teams is a real powerhouse. It's a Catholic rivalry and always turns out to be a solid game. Brebeuf is playing at Park Tudor, and Brebeuf's got a good team. I've seen them play, but Park Tudor's probably going to be licking their chops to avenge the loss that they had last weekend with North Central. Cardinal Ritter will play Cecina, so another rivalry game with regards to the parochial schools up here. And the Cathedral Irish, which I'll be hitting the road here to attend this ball game tonight, will be traveling to Gary, Indiana, one of the sweetest spots in the state of Indiana, to play Bowman Academy. And Bowman is a good team, a very good team. They beat Indianapolis Tech early in the year. They've lost a few times, but beat a Detroit Romulus team that Cathedral got beat by over 20 points. So that should be a very good game, and I hope the Irish show up. Lawrence Central plays at North Central, which will be another rivalry. Lawrence North, who's been playing some really good basketball, and Coach Jack Kiefer just recorded his 700th win a week or so ago. They'll be playing at Carmel tonight. And Bobby Carter's Mooresville team will be playing Martinsville. And the last one I'll note is Indianapolis Pike at Franklin Central. Franklin Central doesn't have a really great record, But I did see them play last weekend, and Franklin Central's got a solid team and competes really hard, and so I suspect that that'll be a good game to watch as well.
Well, we also have number one, 1A, in 1A, number one, Bar Eve will play this weekend. They'll play Shackamack. I want to mention that. They are still number one in 1A, and just quickly, I'll run through the class standings, at least the top couple teams. In Class 4A, it's Carmel and Hamilton Southeastern, and Indianapolis Tech follows that up. Then you have Greensburg, Bowman Academy, Gearin Catholic. In 3A, in 2A, Park Tudor, as Don mentioned. Clarksville, out of the southern part of the state, is number two. Hammond Knoll is three. And Class A is Bar Eve, number one. At 14-1, their lone loss coming to Elizabethtown, Kentucky. Very good team in Kentucky. Covington and always strong Lafayette Central Catholic. They're 8-4, but they play one heck of a good schedule. So, folks, there's a lot of high school games on this weekend. Girls are finishing up their season. Boys are moving through the latter part of their season. Whether you live in Jasper, whether you live in Bedford, Indianapolis, Gary, the eastern part of northern Indiana, which we have listeners there, or whether you're outside the Indiana state area, tri-state area, we have listeners throughout the contiguous United States and across the seas, because the Internet can do that, folks. Go out and support amateur athletics, high school. I know in Europe they call them club teams. Go out and watch these young people play. Most of the time you get their very best effort, and they love it when there's some people in the stands. And it's a great night out. It's cheap. It's an inexpensive way to have some fun. And then, of course, you can talk your spouse or partner or friend into taking you out for dinner and drinks afterwards. Don, it was great having you on the show. We're going to end just a little bit sooner than normal. Folks can listen to us on the podcast as well if you missed the first part of the show live. We appreciate the questions we got. Appreciate having Ryan, Ernie. And Don, even though Mom always favored you, I did enjoy having you as my sidekick on the show.
Well, it was a lot of fun, and the time flew right by. And, boy, I hope I was able to just fill half the shoes that Joe carries every week. So it was a lot of fun.
Well, we certainly appreciate you coming on, and you did more. Joe, I'm telling you, if you're listening, the Coach K Grow and No Joe Show may happen again because Don did a great job. Folks, have a great weekend. Be blessed. Treat people right. I know that you have opinions and thoughts just like we do, but in the end, understand that everybody's trying to give their best efforts. Support them as much as you might even have an opinion on them. And we wish you the best again for Andrew Smith, Kurt Schilling battling some cancer and other people out there. We keep you in our prayers. We know the good Lord does all good things, and he can do it for them as well. Thanks for listening to the show this week. Have a great weekend. You've been listening to Friday's edition in February of the Coach K and Joe Show.
The following presentation of the Coach K and Joe Show was brought to you by Idea Fusion Media, Ubelar & Sons of Jasper and Vincennes, Harmon Dental Care, and by Jasper Today. See you next week.